The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, Expanse fans, and welcome to episode 3 of The Churn and episode 3 of season 3 of The Expanse. I already forgot it. Assured Destruction. Yay. I was so going to mess that up. I'm Cher Martinetti.
And I'm Adam Swiderski.
And joining us, as always, are The Expanse authors that you guys may know as James S.A. Corey. We have Ty and Daniel. Say hi.
Hi.
Ty's not going
to
say anything. Ty's
it's
here.
It's off to a flying start.
Yeah, this is pretty much, you know, standard operating procedure. So, cool. And also joining us all the way from New Zealand, my favorite Kiwi on the planet, Frankie Adams.
Woo! Hi. I'll say all the hi's that Rachel said.
Who's like...
Cher, yeah. I'm going to tell Taika Waititi you said that.
Listen.
Taika, whatever. I'm definitely...
Exactly. Frankie comes before Taika.
Yeah.
So, Adam, really quick, what were some of your favorite moments, or what did you think about this episode this week?
I am here for the political intrigue on Earth. I think everything else is cool, and like, I love the Rossi stuff, but I'm really getting into the political story with Aaron Wright and Anna and the Secretary General and all the stuff that's going on with trying to manage the war with Mars. It's just really fascinating. I think, earlier, a couple episodes ago, Ty and Daniel talked about Sean Doyle and the job that he is doing, and man, is he freaking, he makes me so angry, which means he's doing a very, very good job. So that was my favorite part of this episode, which I very much enjoyed overall.
Oh, okay then.
Sean is amazing. Sorry.
It's okay.
Sean is amazing. That's all I had to put in there.
You can add.
He's
that.
Out, I like watching him too.
He's like out little fingering little finger, which is impressive.
Out little fingering little finger. That's a good way to put it. I really liked, my favorite part of this episode was seeing obviously Frankie, you know, meet the Rossi crew, but the moments where in the beginning when she kind of like had her moment both with Wes and Alex, and her little and her little like badass stance that after viewing Frankie's IG stories last night, I feel like you totally modeled that after your mom with the stance. I was like, oh my God, that looks familiar because I just saw it 12 hours ago. So, yeah.
My mom is, like, the sweetest woman, but she's also incredibly terrifying at times.
Yeah. So, it was...
I get a lot of inspiration for Bobby.
But, yeah, definitely. That was my favorite, the whole interaction of everyone on the Rossi crew. And I feel like Alex also, him and Naomi had a moment. And I liked that. Like, I thought that was really
sweet. What a relief.
Sweet.
Just the tiniest thaw in the frost that's been over that family since the first episode of the season. It's like, oh, thank God they're being nice to each other.
Yeah. But I really liked, I still think my favorite moment was when, you know, Bobby got pissed about the Martian flag and asks Amos if he thinks it's funny. And he's like, not anymore. So I appreciated that. And also another of my favorite lines in this episode was Prax's ultimate nerd, well, actually moment about Frankenstein was the doctor and not the monster. The monster had no name.
Oh, yes.
It's good to know that's still happening hundreds of years in the future.
It's going to be the well, actually, that outlives us all.
But I got to say, my favorite, I agree with you, the integration of Avasarala and Frankie into the Rossi family is cool. My favorite moment had to be when they taught Avasarala how to use the boots.
Yes, that was the other one I was going to say. Yeah.
I actually LOL'd, as yeah, the kids say.
I did very much like that.
I didn't always work in space. That was such a great line.
And it was like, I almost felt like you could see Wes like try not to like laugh when he said it.
Oh yeah, we couldn't hold ourselves together basically the whole season, because everyone was just, Alice Rowley's lines these seasons have been so hilarious, and all the banter and everything. It was tough. I think we were about to laugh.
So Ty and Daniel, like looking back, watching this episode, what were some of the moments that for you guys personally, seeing it come to life on the screen, watching it play back after all the effects and everything are added, what did you love about this episode?
The kind of small thing that's in there that doesn't get referenced very much is actually Officer Rollis' change of costume. She's wearing the Razorback racing suit that Miller saw in Julie's closet in season one.
Oh snap!
Right. Yeah. So it goes all the way back to that. And also, holy shit, Shorey wears the hell out of that thing.
I know. Honestly, she looks so sexy. Oh, she would come on set and we'd all just be like, "Damn, girl."
I did not recognize that that's what that was. That's awesome. I have to go back and check it out.
Yeah. And so it's that kind of holding the details through that I think like the costuming and all the folks who were taking care of that did a great continuity job on that, just to dropping that in.
And I have to say, it's one funny thing. I don't know the screeners that I'm getting through the NBCU screener site. I think they're bouncing back and forth between the VOD ones and the ones that are airing on Sci-Fi, because episode two, there were so many F-bombs, and now we're back to freaking in the one I watched. It was really,
they said fucking in mine.
Did they really?
Yeah. But also, again, that has to do because the show is on at 9 o'clock this season. Last year was on at 10, so they can't, I don't think they could say fucking at all before 10.
I know. It's just, it's funny because like the last version, the episode I watched for 302 was, I must have been the other one because it was just.
Yeah, it must have been the network cut.
F-bombs left and right.
Yeah.
And this one's not. It was funny.
Yeah, mine's not. Yeah, I'm pretty sure mine had the full swearing in it. But Vassarala's costumes, I mean, ever since the inception of the show and it first started, people have always raved online about her costuming, and she does wear the shit out of them. Like, she looks amazing.
So Frankie, was it a relief or a sad thing to not be wearing the power armor at this point after the first couple episodes?
What do you think, Adam?
Well, it was when I read the first two episodes, it's like, shit, I have to wear the suit pretty much the whole time. So it was definitely a relief. But then you're standing next to Wes Chatham, who's got the biggest friggin' arms in the world. I'm like, well, maybe I should have just kept the suit on.
I think
he looks so good. He's like, got the guns.
Does that thing weigh like 1,000 pounds, the suit?
It does, but I think I've gotten stronger. I think I've sort of found a way to manage the weight, but definitely by like the 10th or 11th hour, I'm in a lot of pain. But it's all okay.
All in the service to the greater good, right?
Exactly.
Exactly.
So I realized in this episode, and I'm not saying this because I'm incredibly biased, but I realized in this episode two things. One, that I know that Ty, you always say how much you don't ever want anyone playing in your playground and make their own universe. But I think there should be a spinoff show that is a buddy comedy of Naomi and Bobby just flying around space, doing cool space shit. I don't even care what it is.
Naomi and Bobby or Frankie and Dom?
Well, both. But if it was Frankie and Dom, then I would want to be there. So Naomi and Bobby. So I can just
watch
that. What
you could do is have an episode where Naomi and Bobby meet Frankie and Dom through some dimensional
thing. It would be like Bill and Ted.
I don't think Bobby would like Frankie. I think Frankie would annoy the shit out of her.
Yeah.
Seriously, I think, I'm not even joking, I think that she'll probably be like, who is this annoying, friggin' raging extrovert in my face?
Ty and Daniel, are you writing all this down?
I'm giving you guys gold. Nope. Ty's like, I don't even know why I'm here.
I think they might have fallen asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think Bobby and Naomi even really get along.
No, yeah, Bobby and Naomi don't really like hang out or anything. They just sort of happen to be on the same
in the same space. Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, Naomi's not really getting along with anybody at this particular point in time. That scene with her and Avasarala was brutal.
Oh yeah. Oh, I love that scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, but nobody's gonna call Avasarala on her ship, but Naomi. And Naomi nobody's just gonna tell her what it is. That was pretty. I liked that.
It was a good own. Mm-hmm. I was psyched to see Souther again.
Right?
I love these characters that keep bubbling up that you know, you think, oh, that guy's, you know, he had his good supporting role, and now we've moved on. And then, oh, by the way, there he is again.
This is the episode where we bring Katjar back, right?
Yes.
Oh. Is it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. and then he chokes someone out and kills them.
Goes and picks him up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And we kill Theo. Poor Theo.
Oh,
he's like freaking out, and it seems like Katjar is going to, like, console him. The next thing you know, he puts him in, like, a headlock and is trying to check him out.
And Theo's going, I don't know. I'll say anything to anybody. I don't have any boundaries. So I don't know what to do.
But you guys have a tendency, it's kind of your MO to like be really brutal when you kill people off. It's always really fucked up. It really is.
You know what's funny is that I didn't remember the character's name. I just remembered him as an electrician. So as the episode started, I'm taking notes and they mentioned his name was Theo. I was like, okay, Theo, I got to write this down. This is going to be important. And then he was dead. He was dead 30 seconds later.
We added that line in ADR. Right, so this is Theo who's helping us out. That was an ADR. So there you go.
You're welcome. My gosh. Just to turn the screws a little bit more when he dies. That was the whole purpose of adding that line.
Yes.
So messed up. I mean, seriously, I think at some point we're gonna have to rank all the deaths that have happened so far as the most like not just like harsh the way they die, but it's like the most emotionally brutal because they're always pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
You hold on for a while. I don't doubt this. Early with that.
I think there's still for me there's no topping the spacing of the refugees where Prax is, you know, looking through the window.
Horrible. That's definitely the worst one.
Yeah.
That was just harsh.
Oh, it was harsh.
Worse than the dad holding his child as they are both dead in space.
Oh gosh.
No, you're right. That sucked too. Yeah.
We just gonna talk about death the whole time.
Yeah, this is gonna be the happiest episode ever. We're all gonna like need to go into therapy and drink.
And I'm not gonna, you know, no spoilers, but you know, the list is, you know, incomplete.
It's gonna get bigger.
So Frankie, remember...
are you gonna kill me, Daniel?
I would never kill you. If it were up to me, you would live forever.
So the tragic truth of the books is that whenever we have to kill a main character, I have to talk Daniel into it.
Oh yeah.
I believe that 100%.
Sure. Actually, I can definitely
see. Yeah, I don't think anyone has a hard time picturing that's exactly what happens.
Yeah. He always gets gun shy at the 11th hour. He doesn't want to do it.
That's not true. There was one that you saved. Which one did you save? You saved Prax.
Oh, I saved Prax?
Yeah, I was going to shoot him.
Look at that.
We're seeing Daniel's true colors.
Oh, my true colors are full spectrum. I got all kinds of colors. But yeah, no, there was a point in the books where I was going to murder the hell out of Prax. Ty talked me out of it.
So up until now, without spoiling anything for non-book readers, what character whose death has already taken place on the show, or maybe doesn't even exist in any form on the show, did you guys fight the most about whether or not they should live?
There was a character in the books who kind of didn't make it into the show, sort of got folded into Drummer. It was named Sam. Who the time came to kill her, and I was just didn't want to do it, and Ty had to kind of sit me down and walk me through kind of the logic of the story and why that was the thing that had to happen and why it had to happen now and why it had to happen the way it happened. And he was right. So we did the thing.
Yeah, that was tough. But, I remember that moment. That was a rough one. Because that was a character you didn't, especially the way it was set up in the books, you didn't think that she was going to meet that kind of fate.
And that's why she had to go.
What happened to her in the books? Since she's not in the
spoilers.
Show. Well, she's not in the show, so spoiler.
No, but she got folded. She got folded into Drummer, so you should be anxious for Kara.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's horrible.
I don't know. After seeing her do those sit-ups, I don't know that there's anything that she can't handle.
Be anxious. Just be, just be a little worried.
So Ty, how about you? What character do you feel like? You were really adamant on your stance that we already know has died in the story, in the show, or is not going to show up in the show. And that you felt was like maybe the biggest pushback that you got from Daniel.
Well, he already mentioned Sam.
Is that the same character?
That's kind of a big one. Well, yeah, it was the same. We're writing the same books. So the big pushback, it's going to be kind of the same, whichever one of us.
Well, no, I mean, I'm saying from perspective, maybe one person to them, they felt like this was a bigger deal to them than it was for the other person. Like, even though there was a debate, maybe for you it was Sam, but maybe for him it was not as big of a deal as someone else.
We don't really have much pushing back and forth. We generally agree. I mean, the big one for me is one that I never even talked to Daniel about. But in my original conception of the story, Fred is supposed to die.
Ooh.
Fairly early on. And I just realized that was a mistake as we were writing the first book. But
when you guys write,
I think I told you that after the fact, right?
Yep.
When you guys write, do you get emotionally attached to the characters?
Ooh, good question.
Or are you more emotionally attached to them now that, I exist?
We're more emotionally attached to you, Frankie. We like you.
Thanks.
They don't like you as much as Ty likes Steven, though. He's still the favorite. He's still the teacher's pet.
Right.
followed by Wes.
I don't know.
I don't want to be this.
I really like New Zealand, and I like make places to stay out there.
What is it? You're like, I don't need a place to stay in New York. I'm good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Put me up somewhere. But if I go to New Zealand, having Frankie give me her couch.
You know what? You might even get a room.
Stakes are high, you guys.
You can have the whole place.
So, Frankie, when I came up to Toronto and we were talking about your favorite parts or scenes, one of the things that you alluded to without actually saying, because you couldn't say it, was the time on the Razorback.
Yes, that was fun. That was fun. Well, just because Sharae and I basically, we play very serious women. And then as soon as they call cut, we usually have a wee dance and a song.
Yeah,
that's what we did all day on the Razorback. It was great.
There has to be footage of that somewhere, right?
Oh, yeah. It's just without a doubt, as soon as they call cut, we're like, woo! Look at us go, being badass bitches.
That was, you spent a couple, an episode and a half basically in a tube, in a chair, in a tube. What was that like from an acting perspective?
We couldn't get out of the chair because it was a safety thing, so people had to bring us food and coffee and... We basically just sat in these high chairs all day, and then we take a break after a while.
Well, tell them. So while they were shooting that, there was a camera on a giant robotic computer-controlled arm that would go whipping past their faces.
Yeah, yeah.
that had to be intimidating.
I think it was, and I think that camera is really expensive and precious because there was a lot of that sort of energy around it, stop right now, it's gonna hit the chair. So I think that the camera was probably more important than us at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's not, it's gonna hit Frankie in the face. It's like, save the camera.
Yeah, but stop the camera.
So, but what was that like from a, I mean, from an acting perspective? You're going from, you know, bouncing around in the power armor, climbing on the outside of ships, to spending a whole episode basically sitting in a chair in a tube. Was that a particular challenge for you?
No, it was kind of a relief. I got to sit down for it. It was great. I'm like, should I even spend all episodes sitting, which is nice. But it did go on till like that. At the end of the day, we had to be almost upside down to do the shot where we first come in and the chair sort of spin. Oh, the chair spin from like a certain angle to upright. And that by that stage, we were like, feeling a bit sick now. This is kind of scary. We're almost upside down, but they never put us through the torture for too long, which is good.
Yeah, so Sheree didn't have to fake, you know, the blood rushing to various parts of her body at that point.
No. But she's such a good sport. My God, she's a good sport. She doesn't ever complain when she should be the first to, because who wants to be up there that long when you're a mature woman? I didn't know how to word that.
I was wondering how you were going to get out of that one.
I was like, how am I going to word this without sounding like a friggin'
the phrase you should
something
have
idiot?
Is you shouldn't have to put up with that when you're an Academy Award nominee.
Yeah.
That's, thank you. We can just edit that end of that sentence onto my sentence.
We'll make sure that happens in post.
So what was it like, I guess, you know, in this episode, coming into this group that's kind of already established as a you know, we've seen the Rossi crew together for a long time, and now suddenly you're the new element?
It was like starting work for the first time again. No, it was quite hard because those scenes were sort of Bobby was having a go and being super, I don't know, the alpha, I guess, in the room, and as Frankie, I'm like, this is actually kind of intimidating because it's five of you guys who have done this together for years, and I'm just sort of coming and going, what the fuck, who did this, and blah blah blah. So it was kind of scary, but I had to just pretend like that's how I really felt, I guess. I don't know. It was weird. And then Wes and I like had a stare down, and we decided, I don't know, it was natural in the scene for us to just stare at each other for about 30 seconds. And so that was also scary because Wes is Wes. But I wasn't going to fucking back down.
I did like that when he thought he was going to have to fight you, he grabbed a gigantic wrench.
I know, it was so funny, and I you didn't see it. I don't think you'll see it on the day, but when I first see it, I kind of laugh at him. I'm like, haha, yeah, right, dude, come on, it's not gonna work,
man. I really hope that pops off at some point. That would be a fight me that too. I would watch. Yeah,
I really, and it'd just be really fun to do a stunt with Wes because he's such an incredible fighter.
So I guess, you know, the other big segment of this episode that we haven't talked about is Jules Pierre Mao kind of catching feelings on Io.
Yeah.
That whole situation.
Can I tell you that whole part, every part that's like filmed on Io gives me a very, it makes me think of Weapon X program. That's what I was feeling when I was like watching. It reminds me of the Weapon X program. It's like, oh, let's take all these kids and turn them into fucking killers.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong. In the book, we don't spend time there, right? Like,
no.
As part of
this
program.
We don't have any viewpoint characters there. There's nobody we can pry loose to watch that part.
So it's really much more visceral, like watching the effect that this stuff has on the kids as it slowly infects their body and everything. It's really affecting.
It's kind of terrible. It's great. I'm very happy with that.
Increasing, the more you can traumatize the viewer, the better, it seems, is the overall goal here.
But if you're going to do human testing, you should definitely use kids because they're small and they can't fight back.
And they also, they're pretty gullible, it seems like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, even if they're not gullible, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
They're kids. We put them in public school right now. I mean, come on. How much worse could it be?
That's harsh.
No? Too soon?
Yeah, a little bit. That was way harsh.
But
Frank is from New Zealand. They don't shoot each other at school.
Oh my God.
No. But can we talk a bit about the actor who plays May? Because I mean that's child actors are always their own special thing, and she's really good.
She's very cute.
She's doing a fine job with it. Yeah. She's doing a good job. I like the guy who did Katoa. Thought he did a fine job.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kid is actually really good.
I mean, I like how you say it. Like you're actually pretty surprised.
Well, it's always tricky with kids. We were fortunate that the actor who plays Katoa is actually, I think, 12 or 13. So he's older, but he's able to play younger. And because of that, we got a much better performance out of him, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard when you're a kid. I mean, it's just developmentally, it's a very strange thing to be doing. Pretending that you're somebody else and trying to be really effective at it and trying not to be who you normally are when you're still trying to figure out who that actually is in the first place. I mean, it's just, that's a...
Yes.
That's a tall order.
I was a kid actor. I get it. I started when I was 15 on a show, and I'm like, what? I have to kiss a boy on TV? That's weird.
Also, though, like, I'm really impressed with how diverse even the child casting is on this show. You know, and I think that's something that a lot of shows, you know, we're always so focused about making sure there's diversity with, you know, the leads and whatnot. But seeing the kids on the show cast also being equally diverse, I think is something that doesn't often get as much props or talked about. So I just want to kind of like shout that out.
It would be very strange if the incredibly diverse adults in the show only had white babies.
It's true. Though the Baja we had, Katoa's dad last season was, he was Anglo.
Yeah.
And so we could have, in theory, cast an Anglo kid for Katoa.
Could have.
But
would not have got as good at...
We got the right guy, so...
Yeah.
So the question would be, as a child actor, which is harder, knowing you have to kiss somebody or that you are turning into a horrible monster?
That you have to kiss somebody while turning into a horrible monster. There you go.
Kissing a horrible monster?
Yeah.
It's probably bad. I don't know.
The Me Too jokes that are kind of... I'm restraining myself. This is terrible.
Yeah, save it for when we're not recording.
Man, but and then I guess, you know, like I really want to dive into the before we talk more with Frankie about what it's like to work on the show. I want to talk about, in this particular episode, the political stuff that's going on Earth and that whole decision making process, because that was just, I mean, the scene where the Secretary General finds out that it's because he hesitated earlier that the weapons platform malfunctioned was just. Oh, that ripped my guts out really badly.
None of that's all stuff that came in the show. That was, none of that was really focused on in the books, because in the books we didn't have anybody on Earth at the time. We didn't have anybody who could see any of that kind of thing going on. So all of that, all of the work between Aaron Wright and Anna and the Secretary General, that's all generated for the show.
And it's just, yeah, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Terrible. Kind of brutal stuff.
Yeah. It's really interesting just in terms of, you know, the, as someone who many, many years ago, I studied like geopolitics and it comes to deterrence and all this different, the theories of, you know, conflict, and that the idea that we're not, there are, it's, you know, being at war just doesn't mean being at war. There's different levels of this and levels of escalation and how far that can go, you know, if you're not careful. And it's, you know, when I studied it, it's really interesting. And this, I think this episode gets it across, is that when you study it, it's very much like, oh, this line moved this far on a map and this line, then it moved the other way. But it doesn't tell you that every time that happened, like thousands of people died, you know, and it was a really horrible tragedy. So driving that point home with the catastrophe that happens in this episode, I thought was a really powerful moment.
Well, and it's a disservice to the audience and the story to have a war that doesn't remind you of what war is.
Yeah.
You know, having a clean war, that's a kind of fiction I don't think we're probably interested in participating with.
Especially right now, it seems like that's a very good message to be getting out to the people.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've been saying since, you know, last season how the show's very topical. Even though it was written a while ago, it's almost eerie how much it aligns with shit that's like literally happening and playing out right now.
It's because humans keep doing the same stupid stuff over and over and over again.
Yeah, we're literally the worst species. This is why dogs are better than people.
And it's great. It's that's, you know, I think that's one of the themes of the show is that, like, I think, you know, it was voiced in the first season where it's like, you know, we went out, we brought all this stuff with us, you know, that we went out as far as we could into space, but brought everything, all our problems and bad tendencies and everything with us. It's not Star Trek, The Next Generation.
I think it would be hard to compare us to any of the Star Treks.
Yeah.
People do, though, don't they?
I think it's more
Game of Thrones.
More
or Battlestar Galactica,
Game of Thrones,
right?
Battlestar Galactica. Those tend to be the ones I hear more.
Maybe
which
Battle
are not
on the Bay?
Which are not bad comparisons, you know, but.
When we did the first season, there was a focus group. They showed the whole season to a focus group, and one of the pages in the report was, "What have you seen before that this reminds you of?" And all of the different answers had different font sizes depending on how many people had said that.
Yeah, what did they call it? It's like a
thought cloud.
It's a cloud. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
And so it had, you know, a little tiny Star Trek, a little tiny, you know, Star Wars, a little tiny Battlestar Galactica. And then right in the middle of the page in a font like four times as big as anything else, it said nothing.
But that's actually, it's great.
We've seen nothing great like this before. No, we took that page and we posted it in the writer's room. That was a statement. I'm sure there were many people at the studio and the network who were very nervous to see that, but we were very pleased.
Better than that than like Dallas.
Imagine. It just reminds me of Dynasty. So speaking of Star Trek and science fiction properties, I always liked to bust on Dom and Frankie because they like were not into science fiction really at all and kind of still aren't. But that's not true about Frankie anymore because guess what? Woo-hoo. Frankie's into now. I'm so excited.
Yes, it's amazing.
I'm so excited.
Freaking oh, Star Wars.
She finally watched Star Wars and she loves Star Wars.
Amazing.
And she loves Princess Leia. I'm so happy.
Oh my gosh. My boyfriend's always been into Star Wars. And so when we first started dating, I was like, I'm going to impress the shit out of this guy. I'm going to watch all these fucking movies. And I'm just going to be the hottest Star Wars fan to him. And I didn't do it because I realized there were so many. I was like, fuck that. But I got a bit bored recently and thought, why not? And it was amazing. And, you know, that just proves that if you just give it a try.
Yeah.
You might
we just
got to
get
it.
Dom to like do it. But
she's still like, no.
So what have you watched at this point? All of the Star Wars movies?
All of them.
Wow.
All right. Including the prequels?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I watched them. Oh yeah, but you know, I watched it from the perspective of okay, this was made a very long time ago, so it was still really cool. And I watched it, and I don't know what the order's called, but it's
you watched in the order so that it doesn't spoil the reveal for Darth Vader.
Yeah, watched it in chronological order, but not in film order.
Yeah.
So it's like four. I think it's like 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? My boyfriend said like this is how you got to watch it because he's a big fan. So that's how I watched it, and it was great.
Interesting.
Yes, and then she went and read Carrie Fisher's book because that's exactly what you're supposed to do. So I was very excited.
Obviously, the one where she's having an affair with Harrison Ford.
Yeah, The Princess Diaries is her last book. But now you have to read Wishful Drinking.
Yeah. Drinking.
Yes.
Yes.
Which is hard to get a copy of. You have to find it on Amazon or something because they're hard to get. Oh, there you go. Perfect. Yeah.
So Frankie, is this a gateway now to other science fiction or are you pretty much Star Wars is it?
Okay, let's be clear. The Expanse was the gateway to science fiction. But yes. I love like Guardians of the Galaxy, but I don't think that's
That's fantasy. Oh, that's fantasy.
Guardians of the Galaxy is very much science fiction.
Yeah.
Oh, I freaking love Guardians of the Galaxy, so it's going well.
Didn't we show that to you in Toronto, Frankie?
No, you guys wanted to watch that weird one, that old.
That's right. We were going to show you Galaxy Quest.
Galaxy Quest is really funny. It's really
funny. Yeah, but me and Dom were like, we're just going to go home and drink wine together instead.
Which also is fun.
What about Thor Ragnarok? Your buddy Taika.
Oh, yeah, I love that. Yeah, it's got such a Taika tone to it, which is really cool. You guys have to watch all of his films, though.
I've seen almost all his films, and I love
I've only
that.
Seen What We Do in the Shadows, which was amazing, but I haven't seen anything
else. I think actually What We Do in the Shadows is my favorite after Boy. Because Boy is just a masterpiece in my mind, but yeah. But you know what's annoying is I've known Taika for years, and I'm not in any of those movies. What's that about?
I don't know, but we should start a petition on Twitter with a hashtag, because that... Because that's how things are done.
Well, yeah, I mean, he can.
Is that how you get jobs these days? Because I guess I just have to get Twitter.
I mean, he can probably pretty much write his own check now. So you know, just you can get in on that action.
Yeah, I could be. What was that funny? Well, he played that funny rock, and he spoke in a rural New Zealand accent. I could be the sister
Korg.
Of the rock.
Wasn't his name Korg?
Korg.
Yeah.
Korg. Korg. And you're speaking like he's from Hamilton. That's how they speak, sorry.
Is it really?
You don't know that.
Because you did it perfectly. So.
Well, it's like small town sort of rural New Zealand accent that he uses. It's hilarious.
I was just going to say that.
He said he wanted to sound like a bouncer from Hamilton.
That's so funny. I was actually just about to say that one of the things that I loved about Ragnarok is that when I was reading up on it and the making and stuff, how there's a lot of Maori representation that he pulled from like cultural stuff or design and like even other indigenous aspects, like cultural stuff that play into like the costume design or whatnot, that he used them or borrowed from them. Yeah.
And he cast Rachel House, who's like an incredible actress here, who's Māori, as Jeff Goldblum's, I don't know, 2IC or something. She was in it.
She was like his right hand. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's hilarious. She's an amazing Māori actress too. So he does really like to support New Zealand in that way, in their culture.
She had the most pointed joke in that movie. She had the slaves joke.
Yes.
That was an
And I think she kept her Kiwi accent too.
Yeah, she had an accent.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, because everybody was speaking different accents in that. Round that got Jeff Goldblum's, and I can't even remember what it's called, but anyway.
Jeff Goldblum speaks in a Jeff Goldblum accent.
Yeah, nobody talks like Jeff Goldblum.
God,
he like sing speaks. He says this, you know, this little like he's flirting with you. Like he's dancing when he's talking.
Yeah. Oh, he's such a flirt, isn't he?
He's so amazing. Oh my God. Anyway, but we're supposed to be talking about The Expanse.
Oh yeah, that's up. That's what we're talking about.
You know, so, that show that you're on.
So Frankie, without giving specifics away, what can you tell us about Bobby's journey for this season and kind of what the big themes were for you with the character?
Oh my God, guys, it's you're going to honestly freak out. She's got the coolest storyline. Okay, what can I say? Episode 6 is really cool for her. She gets to do a really great sort of, can I say that?
Like, part of what's interesting with Bobby in the in this thing is in the books she kind of drops out after Caliban's war. She doesn't show up in Abaddon. She barely shows up in book 4. She doesn't really start coming back until much later in the book series. And so just the way we got to spend a bunch of time with Aaron Wright and seeing what he's doing on Earth, we get to spend a lot of time with Bobby and what's going on with her and inventing new things that we can build with her as the season goes on. And yeah, I think it's safe to say that some of her relationships with the Rossi crew are more contentious than others.
So that Amos Bobby fight is happening. Let's just put that out there. I'm putting it out there to the universe so that hopefully it does take place at some point.
Because Bobby and Alex have a really great connection. Can I say that? Yeah.
Did you?
Because
did
they're
you
both Martians.
It, It sounds like they're hooking up, though. I mean, when you say it like that, it sounds like you and Kaz.
No,
I'm just saying.
No, guys, give me a break.
I mean, I think... Bobby and Alex?
Bobby is not defined. No, Bobby's not trying to hook up right now. She's all about herself at the moment and helping us around.
Did you guys, like, share Martian notes to come up with things that were particularly Martian as, like, the two primary Martian actors on the show? The Martian characters, I should say. You're not actually from Mars.
No, they're really from Mars.
If you know Kaz, you know.
Kaz is from Mars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does Kaz have notes ever?
Never! No, he definitely likes to delve into the details of it all, which was really fun, which was really fun to do with him. We were able to brainstorm and sort of figure out different ways that we could show that we have a connection. I can't say that, can I? That we are from the same place and we can sort of find ways to be friends and work together.
And not for nothing, if Bobby and Alex ever got together, she'd break them. That can never happen.
Yeah, and I just don't think that Alex is Bobby's type. But she really likes hanging out with him. He's a nice guy.
But Alex had also another pretty emotional, aside from his very heartwarming moment with Naomi, he had, you know, his wife ends up calling him back and basically being like,
oh, yeah.
We moved on, like, too little too late, buddy. Glad you're happy.
Yeah. Boy, was that a payoff from the heartwarming message that he sent. Yeah.
It's like Beyonce says, middle fingers up.
Yeah.
Cher has completely ever since he sent that message, has no sympathy for Alex whatsoever.
I don't. I have.
You don't?
No, because I don't. I didn't, like, I think there was a dick move, you know? Like, I think there was, like.
Cher has very little sympathy for failure.
That's not true. That's not true at all. It's not the failure.
Here's a guy who failed, and he's trying to reach out. And yeah, every time you reach out to your ex, you're gonna come across as an asshole. But that's the thing.
It's not reaching out. It's not like he's just reaching out to his ex. It was like, oh, like, hey, I basically lied to my family and made you think I was dead. And by the way, JK, I just found something that, you know, it, to me, matters more than being a husband and a father. And, yeah, like, that's what I take issue with. It's not the failure part. It's like you had your child and your wife think you were dead, and then you send a message like that. Like, that is the ultimate fuckboy move ever.
It's one of those things where you think you're sending that message for their benefit, but it's really for your benefit.
It's really for your own. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, just let them.
Not done anything like that.
No, of course not.
Harsh.
But no, I mean, it's
judgmental.
Yeah, of course, because it's a self-serving move. And it's like, then just let them think you're dead, because you're now reopening a wound that they had to get over for how long, you know? And it's like, what child ever wants to find out that their father was like, yeah, you know what? Fuck it, I'm out. Like, this is more important than trying to, like, find a way to be a father in a way that works for, you know, it's part of being a parent, is being selfish.
A great number of children find that out. Stop talking about me, okay, Ty?
I mean, to be honest, space is pretty cool, you know? Like,
space,
it's going to be hard to top
cool,
space.
Cool, but it's like, you know, don't, like, you know, don't have kids if you're going to be like, you know, I can't do this. Like, I'm sure his wife at some point was like, I can't do this. I can't be a mother on my own. And, like, I don't have a husband because he's dead. But no. Is anybody thinking about her? No. He's just out in space listening to country music and drinking beers, okay?
I'm hearing you say,
like,
you don't have
I'm like getting, as I'm talking about this, I'm like getting mad at Cass.
I was going to say.
I think I'm mad at him now.
I'm just getting so mad at Cass. I was like, Cass.
I know. I think I'm mad at him.
I was going to say, I can't wait till we have him on the podcast this season. It's really going to be an adventure.
Yeah, he's going to be like, he'll like totally think I am mad. He'll like be upset.
No, he's going to be sitting there like, you know, I'm an actor, right?
I know. I don't care. It's your fault. How dare you? But no, I mean, that was definitely, as far as story goes, great storyline, but fuck that guy. So yeah, right. I don't have any feelings about that.
That's the final
or
word on that one. So Frankie, what's your favorite stunt that you've gotten to do in the show so far? You get a lot of action scenes. What's your favorite thing that you've gotten to do in that front?
In episode 6, you get to see me do a really cool stunt where I basically just get pulled up into the air. The suits. I get pulled up into the air, and then I've got to do all this cool shit up there. And then I've got a really awesome fight towards the end of the season that I enjoyed that was super complicated and looks awesome. I won't say that.
Oh, yeah.
I won't say that. But yeah, there's a fight at the end, and there's a bunch of stunts I do in episode 6 that are epic and cool.
Do you prefer the fighting or the zero G stuff more?
I remember when I met Dom, and she used to be like, it's not, you get hung, I can't even do a fucking accent, but you know, she's saying that you get hung out by your fanny, and I thought that was hilarious, but then when I did it, I'm like, well, this is real, like, all of your weight is in that area, and when I'm wearing the suit, I'm way heavier, so I think I prefer the fights.
Yeah, so that scene where you were going up the outside of the ship in episode 1 had to be quite comfortable.
There were no harnesses for that. That was,
oh, really?
Either I just did it or it was the visual effects team.
Well, all right.
Share any other burning questions for Frankie?
No, I mean, not that relates to this. I'll just talk to her later.
Well, I guess, and you know, the other question is, Bobby being, you know, I think we talked a little bit about this last season, but Bobby being kind of a fan favorite character from the books, there was a lot of excitement around her appearance on the show. And, you know, what, I guess, how has the reaction kind of evolved over the time from when you first appeared to now in terms of your interaction with fans and how people have responded to the character?
My interaction with fans is usually really positive. The fans of The Expanse are so polite and shy and well-read and sort of know a lot of intimate details about the show, which is really refreshing and cool. So most of it has been positive. I don't really go online or anything. So all my interactions have been really personal and genuine and kind, so, and positive.
Have you run into any Bobby cosplay?
No, I haven't actually, but I've seen a lot of photos, but I've never actually run into a person at a con wearing one.
You know, Adam, the suit that she wears is a $150,000 suit.
Oh, my God.
It's really tough to make one of those at home.
I don't know. It's amazing what you can do with cardboard and PVC pipe, you know? But no, is it really? Wow, $150,000?
Oh, yeah. No, the rule on set is if there's about to be an accident, save the suit. We can get another actor.
Yeah. But I have thought about running off with it a few times. It's London? No, I haven't. I swear.
There's a plot, though, at some point that thing's going to go missing, right? You should just wear it out.
See me running down the street in Toronto. Pick me up because we're about to be rich.
All right,
prop guy always asks me what props I want at the end of the season, and so far he has not given me one of the Martian suits.
Oh, damn it.
I know, Jim, right?
There's four. He'll probably get one.
I think we're going to have to get canceled first. I think they're not going to let us walk out with anything like that. If there's any chance we're doing another episode, it's never going
to
happen.
Just remember, Frankie, it's easier to apologize than to ask for permission.
Also, don't listen to anything there. So, yeah.
At $150,000,
that's grand theft, dude.
Yeah,
that's not just apologizing. That's like bail.
That's amnesty. At that point, you're talking about amnesty or plea deal.
Yeah, like she's not a Canadian national, so I don't think that'd play out real well.
I'm just talking here. I don't know.
Right. On that note, let's wrap this up and let's do some
down the street yelling at the police. Yeah. Don't shoot her. The suit is expensive.
No. Let's do some shout outs. So Frankie, I don't know if you remember this, but we shout out like a thing that we're really into at the moment. So you don't have to go first, so you can like think of something.
A thing that I'm really into at the moment.
Yeah. So we'll let you, we'll have Ty and Daniel go first, then we'll come to you. So guys, which one of you would like to shout something out first?
I stole Ty's last time, so he should go first this time. Okay. I don't wanna do that. I mean, it's not gonna happen, but
okay.
Every day since the last time we talked, I have spent going through the new Expanse role-playing game book that's coming out from Green Ronin. So I have, then there's nothing else in my brain right now.
So you're going to shout out the role-playing book for the Expanse?
Sure, why not? Because that's pretty much the only thing I've read for 5 days.
And okay. Honestly, we are nothing if not self-serving.
Right, of course.
my daughter has just gotten old enough to go on long trips with her school and is out of town for the better part of a week. So I actually get to watch The Wire. I've not been able to see this. Oh. Ty's been talking about it. I've heard all kinds of things about how it's the best thing ever. I've read David Simon's book, Homicide, but I've never been able to watch The Wire because it's just not safe for kids. So that's one thing that I've been doing and that is indeed living up to the hype. And
how far along are you? Wait, how far along are you on The Wire?
I'm still early. Still early days. Okay. About halfway through the first season. I'm going to get at least into the second season before she gets back into town. So that's my goal. But
it's, say that
it's amazing. It's the best show ever made next to The Expanse. After The Expanse, it's the best show ever.
So I'm doing that. And I also want to recommend the novels of Sarah Waters. I read a book of hers called Fingersmith and another one called The Little Stranger. And that woman knows her way around a story and a paragraph and a sentence. And it's just a pleasure to hang out with her.
Well, okay. Adam, what do you want to
say? I can't remember. In the first episode of this season, did I say Legion by any chance?
No, but I actually just started watching Legion, so it's funny that
you're
saying
that. Yeah, I'm almost through season one of Legion, finally, and because I just started watching it on Hulu in the past month or so. And man, do I that show is just, it's so weird. And I, you know, whatever flaws it might have, I appreciate it so much for being so weird and surreal. And, you know, it starts out as the story about this one character, but the ensemble they put together is really, really cool. In particular, I am a fan of, and I'm going to screw this up, so I'm going to say get their names right. Obviously, Bill Irwin and, Amber Midthunder, who play these characters, Carrie and Carrie, who are basically the same person, two people in one body, and it is their relationship and the way that Irwin and Midthunder like acted is so compelling and interesting. It's become my favorite part of the show, honestly.
Irwin is awesome, right? He's amazing.
Yeah, I saw him in a stage show on Broadway once.
Do you remember him from Northern Exposure?
I never actually watched Northern Exposure, I'll be honest.
He was in an episode of Northern Exposure, and he was brilliant.
Yeah. And he's such a gifted physical actor, which is something that, you know, not everybody can do really, really well. But he's so, so good at that, how he uses his body to tell a story. It's just really fascinating to watch. There's a great scene in an episode of Legion where he, especially for Cher, who hasn't seen it yet, I don't want to spoil anything, but he has to react to stuff that's happening to the other Carrie. And the way he acts it out, it's just so amazing to watch. It's really a tour de force performance. So, yeah, and I'm almost done with season one. And I'm looking forward to diving into season two because I hope it stays as weird as it is. Stay weird, Legion.
Frankie, what about you? What's a shout out, something that you're into?
Oh, my God. I'm honestly so boring. You guys have all these great... I don't know. I just started reading Just Kids by Patti Smith. That's going well.
Okay, so there you go.
But do you know what I do need, actually, are podcast suggestions.
You should listen to strong female characters.
Yeah, because I'm doing a half marathon and I need something to
listen to strong female characters. Listen to our Fangirls podcast.
So strong female characters. Yes. I'm writing that down. Well, that's what I'll shout out.
Also, if you're into music while running, there's a KEXP, which is a station in Seattle. One of their morning DJs.
She's in New Zealand, though.
I know. No, wait. But one of their morning DJs is a big runner, and he put out a bunch of like playlists that are basically good running songs interspersed with quotes about running. And he's got it for different lengths of races that you're training for. And I used to listen. So you can get it online. You can get it all online. So it's kexp.org. And I used those a lot when I was training for the marathon. And it was really, really great stuff.
Awesome. I'm definitely going to hit that up.
I'm going to shout out the current run of Star Wars comics on Marvel that started in 2015, which I actually started reading because of EC3, because they had the annual that had like 16 volumes in it, you know, and it was hardcover and it was awesome and I couldn't put it down. And then I bought, you know, the second hardcover, and then I started downloading all the ones that weren't out yet in a hardcover annual form on my Marvel app, and now I'm all caught up, and now I have to wait for the next one to come out, which is annoying and I hate that, but I love this run. It fills in a lot of stories between all the movies, starting with, you know, A New Hope, and you get to see all these backstories and stuff that happened between the movies, like between New Hope and Empire, and the characters look like the characters did back in the day in the movies. And there's a lot of Han and Leia like backstory, which I am a tool because I love it. And there's, yeah. So
in the comics, Han has an ex-wife, right?
It's something like that. It's not, I mean, I don't want to spoil it because it's a really cool story, but there's something like that. There's also, because I am the worst, somebody drew like a semi-shirtless Han in one of the panels, and I was like, oh god, why couldn't we get like hot young Harrison shirtless in Star Wars? So it's a great little thirst trap, and I'm totally into it. So yeah, that's my shout out. So on that note, thank you for everybody. Thank you, Frankie, for waking up early, and because it's, you know, morning time for her right now. And thank you for everybody listening, and make sure you know, rate us, give us some love on iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts. And till then, I guess we'll see you guys or talk to you guys next week.